2 weeks ago, we started in the study of the book of Acts. I want to just kind of hit on that real briefly. We looked at five things that a spirit-filled church does. And that scripture was taken out of Acts chapter 3 is where we were studying from. The five things that a spirit-filled church does is one they should expect. You should come here expect to be a blessing to someone else. You should come here expecting a word from God. Come here expecting a word from the Creator. A spirit-filled church should expect healing. You should expect healing in your life, but also you should expect to help someone else in the process of healing, not only spiritually, but also physically. The third thing was joy. Remember we talked about the lame man that was healed, and he immediately sprang up and started leaping for joy. A spirit-filled church will have joy in your life no matter what you're going through. You'll still have that peace. You should have that leap. And I ask you this morning, have you lost your leap? Do you have a leap in your life? Amen? Amen. Where's that leap? Where's that joy at? No matter what's going on in your life, if you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, you should have that joy. And if you don't have that joy, yeah, there's going to be times you're going to be down and you're going to struggle. But if you don't have that joy, there's something wrong. You better start relooking at your relationship with Christ, see if it's genuine, seeing if it's real. The fourth thing we looked at was wonder and amazement. People should be able to see in a spirit-filled church that God is working in people's lives, that there's growth and that's taking place, and a spirit-filled church realizes that it's in the name of Jesus. That it's not about religion, it's not about them, it's not about what's going on in this church, it's about the Spirit and the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you with me? The fifth thing was a witness. A Spirit-filled church will be a witness to the world. They'll be a witness for Jesus. Remember we talked about that? And that witness is that God works in an individual's life. And then people see that and they ask about it. They want to know what's going on. And then you share what God is doing for you and for your life. And then in return, God starts working in their life. And then it starts all over again. And that growth takes place. And then people want to know about them. And it goes on and on and on. And that's how we can be a witness. So come here expecting to be a blessing to someone. Come to expect a word from God. Come expecting healing in your life. Expect joy. Expect that wonder and amazement. And expect and be a witness. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4 this morning if you want to find your place. You know what? It's amazing. It's like last Sunday. I kind of had a little message prepared in case Sheila didn't, just in case something fell through there. But we had a great service and what she showed us there. And the very thing that she cut off at the end of it was what I used, you know. And we hadn't even talked or didn't even know what was going on with each other there. But, you know, it's amazing how the Spirit of God works and how he filled in that void. Just what she was going to take off is what the Lord gave me to end the message with her. You know, I'd like to ask everyone that's a member of this church or that is a Christian this morning to be in a season of prayer for this church. Remember we talked about that last Sunday about praying for our nation, and I've been encouraging you here the last several weeks as individuals to pray for each other, to lift each other up in prayer. And I want to ask you that we start a season of prayer for this church, for the because there's an incredible amount of power and resources available to a church that prays. You realize that? The power and the resources. We're going to be looking and studying in the book of Acts here for a while, and I think for the next few Sundays we're going to be talking about prayer. And then that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, when a church prays. As you look and study in the book of Acts here, the early church, the dominant feature of the church was prayer. They realized that they were responsible for each other's well-being. They realized that they were the salt and the light of the world. And they realized that all that God is and all that God has could be theirs and through the disposal of prayer, through prayer life. Prayer was important to them. Prayer was the dominant feature of the early church. You know what? That shouldn't have changed one bit. Remember, we talked about the lame man that was healed when Peter and John came to the, and he was laying there at the gate, and they healed him in the name of Jesus Christ. And it was a result of that Peter and John was arrested. And it wasn't just what they were, they wasn't not just arrested for preaching, but it was the name that they were preaching. They were preaching the name Jesus. They were preaching Jesus had rose from the dead. You know, it wasn't just what they were speaking, it was whom they were speaking about. And they were speaking about Jesus. As you look and study and read that, you realize that they appeared before the religious authorities. And they appeared before the high priest. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with great boldness. Let's pick up Acts chapter 4, verse 12. What he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He was speaking with great boldness. Even after they had told him and warned him, he still spoke. He says that there is none other. He said, "I'm going to keep preaching Jesus." He spoke it with boldness. And then if you go on to verses chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, they warned and threatened Peter, and look how he responds. "But Peter and John answered and said unto them," now they had just warned them not to speak in the name of Jesus, said, you quit talking about this man, you quit talking about the resurrection. And they threatened him and warned him, and he said, and he answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." In other words, they couldn't help but talk about it. They couldn't help but talk and about the things that they had seen and heard in Jesus Christ. Now, let's read on a little bit further here, and let's jump down to verse 23. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." Verse 24, "And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them is. Verse 25, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Verse 27, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." Verse 28, "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 23 starts out, men being let go, they went to their own company. You know, when we're troubled, when we got problems that are bigger than we can handle, you know, we should go to Jesus in prayer. We should go to the Lord in prayer. We should approach that throne of grace. But this, there's also an example of another place that we should go, what we should do. The apostles went to those who cared for them. They went to those who would pray for them. And that is the church. Amen. Every Christian that's here this morning should be a member of a local body in a church. If you're not a member of this one, you need to become a member. If you're not a member of some other church that you go to, you need to become a member. Wherever you're at, you need to become a member of that church. And if you're not, you're going against the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ, the builder of the church, the one that died for the church. That was His plan, to be you become a member and a functioning member of that body of Christ. Amen? Do you have a church to go to? Do you have a church to go to that you can share your problems in your heart and pour yourself out to them? Well, I praise the Lord this morning that I've got a church like that. That I can come and share some of my most intimate secrets with. And you won't judge me for it. But you'll lift me up in prayer. Isn't that what a church is for? That's what happened to these individuals. They knew who they could go to. They went to their church and they knew that they would be prayed for. That's what happened here. Peter and John in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company. If you read on further in the book of Acts, we're not going to go to there this morning, but in chapter 12, in verse 12, when Peter was jailed and the angel of the Lord comes and lets him out, remember that story? Where does he go to? He goes to those people that are praying for him. So as a praying church, what was the title to it? When a church prays? When a church prays, it is a response to God. Let's read 23 and 24 again. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which thou hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They were thankful for God's deliverance. They realized that being let go was the work of God. They saw the evidence of God at work in their lives because they were let go. You know, it says, and all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. They were telling them not to preach the name of Jesus. Yeah, they was not telling them not to preach, but they were telling them not to preach in the name of Jesus. They realized that this by them being let go, God was working in their life. I ask you a question this morning: Is God working in your life? Is God working in your life? And are you looking for evidence of it? Because see, if you're not looking for evidence of it, you're not going to see it. You understand what I'm saying? Are you looking for the evidence? Have you stopped to praise him? Look what they did there in verse 24. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Have you stopped to praise him? See, that's what a praying church will do. That's how their prayers will start out, in praising God. It's not about what we want, but in praise to God. Keep looking at verse 24. They were united in their desires. It says they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They were united in praise. And see, their prayer was because there were threats being made against them preaching in the name of Jesus. You know, and what are we going through today? What do we see happening in the world today? In the military, they're telling them not to pray in the name of Jesus. They're telling their chaplains that you can't do that no longer. You know, you can get out here all through the world and you can talk about God all you want to, but when you start talking about the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to be persecuted. So the same thing is happening today that was happening then. They're telling them that do not talk about Jesus. So they're not praying that God will take that away from them. They're praying that they would continue to speak the word with boldness. So think about that when you're praying and what you're praying for. You may be praying that God will take something away from you. Maybe that's not what you need to be praying. Maybe you need to be praying that you'll stand strong in your faith and that you'll continue to preach the name of Jesus. Amen? Prayer is recognizing who God is and how big He is. Look how they start that verse 24. How He says, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. You know, when we realize how big God actually is, then we truly recognize how small our problems are. Did you ever think about that? You know, I read this. This guy was standing out and looking at the vast stars and thinking of the universe and how big he was, how big it is, and he was just raising his hands out and just praising God. And then all of a sudden he took his hand and he put it like over his eyes like that and looking at it, all of a sudden he couldn't see that vast universe that God had made. See, sometimes our little problems in life keeps us from seeing how big God actually is. Amen? Our Creator, we need to realize that He was the one that made us. We need to see how big God is and how small our problems are. Look what it says in verse 25. Who by thy mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? I think some of the interpretations say you spoke. In other words, a God of revelation. They need to realize that it's God who spoke it. In verse 28, he says, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. In other words, that determined before, that you decided. That it's, we need to realize that it's the God of history that we're praying to. We need to realize that it's our Creator that we're praying to. We need to realize it's a God of revelation. And that it's a God of history. You decided. A praying church needs to realize that prayer is a request of God. Well, it says now, verse 29 and 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. They prayed to have the chance to continue to serve. They didn't pray that that would be taken from them. They just prayed that they'd have a chance to serve. It wasn't the danger that they were praying for, but it was their ability to serve. They prayed for boldness in their speech. You know, that's amazing when you stop and think about that. A lot of times we get to whining to God, don't we? I know I do sometimes in my prayers, get to whining and crying and take this from me. And, you know, we shouldn't be praying like that. We should be praying, first of all, to praise God. And we should be praying that no matter what we're going through or struggling with, that we will stand firm in our faith. And that we'll continue to speak the name of Jesus. Amen? You see, that's what a praying church does. They don't pray that this will be taken from them, from us. So, this right here actually goes back to the last sermon in Acts. A praying church should expect results. Are you praying expecting results? Are you praying expecting that prayer to be answered? And look what happens after their prayer. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. With boldness. See, when you have an encounter with God, you all of a sudden you have more courage. When you have a revelation of God, it makes us agree, like Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? It increases your courage and your strength when you have an encounter with God. And that's what they did. They spake the word of God with boldness. See, they had an encounter with God. That's what some of us need this morning. We need an encounter with God. These people here, they realize, do you realize this morning that the God that they prayed to is the same God that we pray to today? He hasn't changed. This God that shook them is the same God that can shake you today. This God that filled them with the Holy Spirit is the same God that can fill you with the Holy Spirit. The same God that empowered them and strengthened them is the same God that can empower and strengthen your life in this church and your family. Amen. God hasn't changed. It's the same God. I challenge you this morning. I don't want to be an ordinary Christian. I don't want to be the pastor of just an ordinary church. And I challenge you for three things this morning. Wherever you are spiritually, commit your heart anew to God. Second thing, commit yourself to this body of Christ. Commit yourself to be used in this church. Folks, it's time. It's time that we get serious. It's time that we get involved in the body of Christ. We need you to pray for our church, for each other. We need you to work to reach this community and the surrounding area. We need you to commit your resources that you have. I challenge you this morning to start a season of prayer for this church and each other. I've been telling you, remember, that spiritual growth that's taken place here, the devil is going to attack. And he has. And we need to step up to the plate. We need to become the church that God wants us to be. And we need to become a praying church, a church that is filled with the Spirit of God and that will lift each other up in prayer daily and will speak the name of Jesus with boldness no matter where we're at. Amen? See, it's easy to do that when we're in this building, when we're confined to these. When you step out that door, that's what matters. And if we're not a prayed up church, if we're not a Spirit-filled church, you're not going to have the strength to stand out there in this world. Amen? Let's become a Spirit-filled church. And I challenge you this morning to start today at this season to become that, starting right this very moment.